We're holding on. We're holding on Lemon Bays, near the bottom. It's five lines from the bottom. Okay, we learned yesterday a writer that discussed various ins and outs of the dinim of standing up to honor an old person or a Talmid Chacham. First thing, we had two different opinions at the beginning of the Braita and one at the end who it's referring to. We had the Tanakama saying that doesn't mean a Zakin Ashmo, he doesn't mean an old person who was a Rosha and an Amaret, because it's just an Amaret. Rather, it means a Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Yossi Aglumi said Zakin means Zesha Kana Chacham. And then at the end of the Braita, Isi Ben Yehuda had said that it means any kind of old person. So first things first, the question is, isn't Rabbi Yossi really saying the same thing as the Tanakhama? Okay, the Tanakhama is putting it in terms of Ein Zaken El Chacham, and he's bringing a pasuk, and Rabbi Yossi really is saying Zaken is Zesha Kana Chacham. Other than where they're darshaning it from, it seems to be the same thing. The answer is, Ikebenayu Yanik B'chakim. The Nakamina would be, between them, what if you have somebody who's young, but a Talmid Chacham? Tanakama sava yanik v'chakim lo. The Tanakama holds that the word zokin means he has to be both. He has to be a zokin and a chacham. The pasuk that he brings, that the Eibush tells Rashi, is a gap. Rashi explains the pasuk that we quoted, that the Tanakama quoted in the Braita to say that a zokin means a Talmid Chacham was a pasuk Esther Lishivim Ishmi Zikne Yisrael. They were both. They were elders and they were Talmid Chachamim. Therefore, if they say we're talking about that, if a zokin has to mean that. Rabbi Yisagli, the Sarafila Yanach B'chakim, whereas Rabbi Yisagli, who says that Zaken means only Zeshakana Chachma, he completely ignores the simple meaning of the word Zaken. Well, then it can mean even a young person who is Kana Chachma. My time is Rabbi Yisagli, so what is Rabbi Yisagli's reason? Why does he say to ignore the word Zaken at all? And we're going to deal with soon what he, we're going to deal with soon what he does with the word, what he does with the word Seva. The answer is, if you're going to tell me, like the Tanakama says, that you need that the person needs to be both, they need to be elderly as well as a Talmid Chacham, then the pasuk should say, in the presence of an aged person, who's a Zaken, a Talmid Chacham, you should stand up and you should honor them, instead of having it in two different clauses, so why did the Torah split them up? To tell us that they're not the same thing. Seva just means an old person. Now, granted, okay, it doesn't mean a zaken ashmoi. Rashi says Rabbi Yossi Aglumi can't be saying, that you stand up for a zaken ashmoi, because he'd be saying the same thing as Isi ben Yehuda at the end of the Braisa. And obviously they're arguing. So he does agree that a zaken ashmoi you don't have to stand up for. But he says there's two different things over here. That, number one, you need to stand up for an elderly non-Ashmoi, somebody who's just elderly, but just, if Rashi said that Ashmoi means a Rosha and an Amaretz, then it means somebody who's not a Talmid Chacham, but he's not a Rosha of Amaretz either, he's just a partial Yid, but he's old. And then number two is Zokin, meaning a Talmid Chacham. One, they're not the same thing. Shmamina, for the Yanik L'chakim, which means, therefore, even if he's young and a Talmid Chacham, he still has to stand up for him. The Tanakama would answer to that, the Tanakhama would say no. The reason why the Torah split it into two clauses, if they say Matakum and Vahadarja Pnei Zakin, not like you, Rabbi Yisrael, really are saying because Seva and Zakin are two different things, but rather because we want to have the smichos, we want to have the hekesh of the word Zakin and the word Vyareta. As we said in the Braisa yesterday, that the Zakin himself has to fear the Eidishtha and not be Matriya for people to stand up for him.
Zaken is someone special.
But still, the Tanakhama can be saying that Zaken and Seva are the same thing. And therefore, it means that he has to be both elderly and a Talmid Chacham. So, yeah. Okay, the Tanakhama, my timer. Now, what's the Tanakhama's reason? He says, Isak, that is Kidukamar of Yesag, really, because if you're going to tell me that the din is, like Rabbi Yesag really is saying, that the person needs to be either elderly or a Talmid Chacham, not necessarily both, but even a young Talmid Chacham you have to stand up for. Then the Torah should be repeating the verbs. In the presence of an aged person, you should stand up and you should honor. Also, you should stand up and you should honor an elder, a Zaken, a Talmid Chacham.
We could say one sentence in both.
If we had a reason to say that, but when we're arguing that they mean two different things, the Torah should have been clearer. Since the Torah did not write it, like Mashmaminachadu, so the Tanakhama would argue it's meant to be one statement, that there's a Tokum Bahadarta that applies to somebody who's Seva and Zaken. He's elderly and he's a Talmid Chacham.
No.
Next. So actually what comes out basically is really there's three different ways. Well, the halacha is that yes, even a Yannick L'chakim, you have to stand up for. We're going to discuss later also Issi Ben Yehuda's opinion. We're going to discuss later Issi Ben Yehuda's opinion about standing up for a simple person or even an Ashmori or whatever who's elderly. But what it comes out basically is there's three different ways of understanding the pasuk. You can understand that Seva and Zaken are two different things, which is what Rabbi Yitzchak really is saying. You can say that they are one and the same thing, like the Tanakhama is saying, or you can say that that they are two different things, like Issi Ben Yehuda, and Seva is not meant only if he's Zaken, or like Rabbi Yitzchak really, and the Chacham would both be agreeing that Seva only applies if he's Zaken. Issi Ben Yehuda would say Seva is stands all by itself without even having to be Zaken and Tanak Chacham.
Seva
just means an elderly person who has white hair.
Zaken
would be a Talmud Chacham. So Issi Ben Yehuda would say these are two different. Yes, well, Issi Ben Yehuda would say these are two different disjoint things. You have to stand up and honor any elderly person. Call Seva the Mashma. That, of course, Rabbi Yitzchak really can. That's what we're saying. Okay, onward. Amar, we said further in the Braisa, Yochel Yehadrenu B'Mamon, we said that you would think the word V'Hadarta maybe means to honor him with money. Talmud Lomar, Tochem V'Hadarta, no, because the Pasuk says you should stand up and you should give respect, which means Makim Hashem V'Chesaron Kis, just like standing up does not involve any financial loss. Ahid Hashem V'Chesaron Kis, so the same thing, respecting him means something that doesn't involve any financial loss. Rashi says that Hidur would be, for example, that you show him honor. You speak respectfully to him. And Gemara says, why? Who says that standing up doesn't involve a financial loss? Why? Couldn't we equally be talking about a case where somebody is in the middle of piercing pearls, which is very, 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 very delicate and very delicate work, and each moment of his time is worth a lot of money? What?
Johnny says so.
Manganese is pearls, yeah. No, pninim is the Hebrew word for them. This is Aramaic. It's related to the word magalit in modern Hebrew, yeah. Anyway, suppose somebody is doing that. Each moment of his time is worth a lot of money. Getting up even for a second is definitely worth more than a pruta. He's definitely losing money out of it. If the Torah is saying tokum v'hadarta, the Torah is not specifying what you're doing at the time. Maybe you're piercing pearls, and yet we see this chesaron case. So you could argue that, okay, in that case, Hidur maybe also means chesaron case that you have to give him money. So what are you doing? If you're in the middle of piercing pearls, to swing them on necklaces or whatever, meanwhile you're drilling holes in pearls, meanwhile you're going to stand up for the elderly person at the time of Chacham, whatever, or bottom of Malachta, and you're going to have bitul, you're going to be mevatel from your work, and you're going
to
lose money. Because that's the kind of malacha where you're standing up for a second will be worth more than a shavah prota. If it's, for example, you're doing minimum wage job, fine. You know, standing up for a second, but there won't be a shavah prota. You could argue that's not considered a financial loss. That's the equivalent of diamond cutting. Okay, el akish kima lehider. So no, rather what we're going to do is we're going to make the hekish both ways. First, we're going to start by making a hekish between kima, between standing up and hider. Namely, ma hider shein bebitul. Hider, honoring somebody, does not involve bitul malacha, because again, it means you speak to him respectfully, it means you honor his presence or whatever, it doesn't mean that you're actually being mevatel from your work to honor him. So therefore, af kima shein bebitul. The same thing, the standing up has to be that there's no losing time from your job in order to do it. And then, once we have that, the hakish nami hidu l'kima, then we can work backwards and make the hekish the other way around also. Ma kima she'en v'chisoren kis, just like standing up does not involve chisoren kis, does not involve a loss of money, given that we just established that because of the hekish, because we're saying that kima has to be similar to hidur, and hidur by definition does not involve bitul malacha, because you're being vatal from your work is not a matter of hidur. Therefore, the kima also does not involve a loss of work time. Well, if it doesn't involve a loss of work time, there's no chesaron kis, there's no loss of money. Therefore, af hidur shein b'chesaron kis, therefore we're back to that hidur also means something that doesn't involve a financial outlay, so therefore we can prove from that hidur doesn't mean honoring him with money.
Wait. Was the pshat not asking you for money? I mean, the fact that you're standing is you're going to lose time from work.
But that's what we're saying. You don't have to. Because the definition of hidur, Rashi says, hidur shein bevitr malacha, the emotion hidur el nesiyos panim, the expression hidur means that you receive his face respectfully, over mammon, now it can mean with money, over kibbut dvarim, or it can mean with speaking respectfully to him. Vein mashmai, bitr malacha. The word hidur does not involve bitr malacha.
So you don't have to get up.
That's what we're saying. Mikana Amru, based on this we're saying, based on this double hekish, and going in both directions, that it means there has to be something that does not involve bitul malacha and does not involve chesaron kis. Mikana Amru, based on this, they said, Ein ba'alei umniyas rashoin, lamed metam rachachamim, b'shashoiz kim malachtam. People who are doing craftsmen are not allowed to stand up in front of tamer chachamim when they're doing their work.
They're not allowed.
One second. So Tosfos, Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim discuss. Tosfos says, first of all, what was the problem? Let him stand up if they want to.
If he wants to lose money, what's wrong with that?
Tosfos answers that we're talking about you're doing work for somebody else. So then you're not allowed to be a vassal from somebody else's work. That's one. Then Tosfos gives another explanation. Sometimes you find the word Rashoi in Shas doesn't mean allowed to. It means required to. Therefore, in Rashoyin can mean they're not required to. If they want to, because of the hate, they could. On the other hand, if they don't work for somebody else, right. There are other Rashoyim. I think the Ritzvah says that, no, it may even mean if you're working for yourself, you can't, because what's going to happen, if you have, let's say, you know, imagine Talmud Chacham is walking down the marketplace, some people are working for themselves, some are working for other people, and the ones who are working for other people are not allowed to stand up because they're not allowed to be mavatal from their employer's work. It's going to look like it looks like they're being chutzpahdik on the other end. So in order to avoid that, don't stand up for them at all. The Gemara says, "Valoi, is that so? You shouldn't stand up in respect. The Bali Omnius craftsmen should not stand up in respect for people. That's not. But we learn in a Mishnah in Bikurim that when people are bringing Bikurim to Yerushalayim, Kol Bali Omnius Omni Mepneim, all the craftsmen in Yerushalayim would stand up in their presence as they're passing through. V'sholem v'shloimim, and they would greet them. They would ask after their welfare. V'omim lahem, and they tell them, Achenu Anshim Mokem Plani Bayacham L'sholem. Our brothers, the people of such and such a place, you come in peace. So we see that Bali Omnius will stand up for them. And that's the difference. With Nehem Oimdim, they do have to stand up in their presence for the people who are bringing the Kurim. The Tamid Chachamim Ein Oimdim. They do not have to stand up because in the presence of the Tamid Chachamim. Now, why is that? Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Avin, Boyurei Kama Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita. Come and see how precious is a mitzvah when it's being done in its right time, which is Bikurim. There's a certain season of the year for it. It's from Pesach until Sukkot, and afterwards they have an extension until Hanukkah. What? Regardless of who's doing it, right? Because you see that we treat the people who are bringing the Kurim more respectfully than Tamid Chacham. You don't have to stand up for Tamid Chacham, we just said, or even if you're working for somebody else, you're not allowed to. But when people are coming through with the Kurim, you do have to. Incidentally, it's brought in the poskim that this is the reason, for example, why when the klater and the klater and bringing the baby for a bris, you stand up. Chaviva mitzvah v'shaita. But mitzvah, when it's being done in its time, is a precious thing.
So people who learn Torah, much more chashivus than the people who bring the Korean day.
But that's what we're saying. Chaviva mitzvah v'shaita, that the mitzvah being done in its time, is even more important. On the other hand, the Gemara says maybe not. The Dilma shiny hosa. Maybe you could argue that it's different when the people are bringing the Kurim. DMK, not to makshil and lawsuit love it, because if people don't stand up for them, you may be causing them to stumble in the future. They may say, nobody cares about us anyway, why should we bother? So you can't prove from that, but if you have people who are known in the city and they're doing a mitzvah, that you should have to stand up for them because chaviv a mitzvah shaita, maybe not. Maybe it's not, these strangers are coming to your shalayim. Ben Yoyadeh, by the way, says a thing. So what are we thinking? The people who are bringing the Kurim are so self-centered that if people don't give them honor, they're going to stop bringing the Kurim. He says because the mission describes over there in the Kurim that they used to make a whole to-do out of bringing the Kurim. They have a whole procession. They had an ox with its horns, with gilded horns, walking in front of them. They had music, this, that, the other. So like this, if people don't stand up for them, they may figure, the people are probably laughing at us behind their backs. What are we making such a big deal of? We're bringing one basket with $2 worth of fruit, and we're making a whole to-do out of it. So they may not bother in the future.
Everybody who brought the Kurim had his own parade. So
according to that explanation, if you have a bunch of people are bringing together, that's when. But if one individual person comes into your shlime and he doesn't have his whole procession or whatever, then maybe you don't have to stand up for him. Going back to the Braisa, Yochel Yamin Rupanu Beisa Kisim Beisa Mechot, we said you would think that you have to stand up in front of a Talmud Chacham in the back room or in the back house. And we bring a pasuk that says no, that's a tokum v'hadarta, that only b'mokum sheyesh hidur, only in a place where you show respect. Again, Rashi gave before the definition of hidur. Those are not places where you show somebody respect, so therefore you don't have to stand up either. This is a lie. Is that a, no? You don't have to stand up in such places. It happened once that Rav Chiya was sitting in the bathhouse. Rav Shimon Berebi passed by. And Rav Chiya did not stand up for him. The Ikpad and Rav Shimon Berebi objected. He minded that Rav Chiya didn't stand up for him. We said yesterday Talmud Chacham can be moichel on his kovet. Okay, it can be. First of all, doesn't mean he has to. But second of all, also they talk about there's a difference whether it's in private or whether it's in public. When it's in public, in front of the person's talmidim, then it's not so simple for him to be moichel on his kovet because you don't want the other talmidim to start treating him lightly as well.
Does he then care that much about his kovet?
But again, the point is that it's a Torah's covered, yeah. I mean, we said yesterday it's Torah's delay, but still, it's also a matter of making sure that the Talmidim know the right thing to do. We didn't mention it yesterday, but there is that consideration. I mentioned at the very end yesterday about Maharam Rutenberg, that after he became a god of Israel, he and his father stopped seeing each other. Why didn't he just be Moshe on his covered? Same idea, because his Talmudim are always around him, and they may not realize there's always new Talmudim coming. They may not realize it's his father, and they'll learn to treat their Rebbe with less derecheres. You can't do that. Anyway, the Ikbad, also Amalei Lavua, and Shimon Berebi came and told his father. I told him 2/5 of Sefer Tilim, yet he didn't stand up in my presence. Rashi says it just means 2/5, that I told him the Midrashim on it. Tosfos says Chumashim actually means, we know that Sefer Tilim is divided into 5 Sfarim. The Medrash says just like Moshe Rabbeinu gave us 5 Chumashim, so David HaMelech gave us 5 books of Tilim. So he means I told him 2 books of Tilim. I told him the two-fifths mean two chumashim, and Reb Shimon Berebi is saying that I taught Reb Chiya two chumashim, two portions of, and he didn't stand up for me. The two, and another example, Bakapara, it happened with Bakapara, the Amilot of Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi, or another version is it was Rabbi Shmuel, actually it says on the side, Rabbi Yossi, have a Yosef ben Meskosa, he also was sitting in the bathhouse, also Rabbi Shimon Berebi, again, Rabbi Shimon Berebi came in, but like, come me, and Bakapara, or Rabbi Shmuel, or whoever it was, didn't stand up, the Ikbar, and again, he minded it, but also Amalei Labur, and he went and told his father, Shnei Shlishi Shlish Shanisu Leviteres Peinim, I taught him 2/3 out of 1/3 of Torah's Kohenim, which is the bright. In other words, if you divide Torah's Kohenim is the, well, it's Vayikra, but specifically it's the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. You know, the Mishnayos that we have just give the dinim without usually giving the pasuk where we learn it from. The Gemara will tell us sometimes based on Braisa, sometimes based on other Lamudim, what pasuk we learn it from. That kind of thing is what the Medrash Halacha on the Chumashim are for. You have Mechilta on Shmos, Sifra on Sifra, also called Teras Koinim on Vayikra, Sifri on the Midbar Dvarim. They go through pasuk by pasuk. What dinim do we learn from this pasuk? That's Teras Koinim. So now, if you take Teras Koinim, if you take this Medrash on Vayikra and divide it into 3 parts, he's saying, I told him 2/3 of one of those 1/3 sections. So, like, who wrote different Tanoim wrote different ones. The Gemara tells us, I think, that what is it? Stam Sifri. I think Stam Sifri is Rabbi Yehuda. I forget. One of them is Stam is Rabbi Yehuda. Another one is Rabbi Shimon. Another one is Rabbi Nechemi. The whole of our Rabbi Akiva. All of them go back to Rabbi Akiva's base medrash. Aside from that, there's also ones that come from the base medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. There's a couple that
were written in the Tanaim times.
I don't know if they were written. They were composed in those times, and they were written at some later time. Again, yeah. A lot of times when the Gemara quotes, when the Gemara starts off with a Braisa Tana Rabbanon, a lot of times it comes from one of those collections. Especially when you see a Braisa that goes in Darshan's pasuk by pasuk, like we had before, the whole Braisa that we started off with, Mekne Seva Tarkum. That's the kind of Braisa that very likely comes from Torah's Koinim on Ran Parashas Kedoshim on that pasuk. Okay. Anyway. Because I can see here in the third Sashas.
But how did you get to this one from that?
Because since it Darshan took him like that, that's the style. That's the style. That's type of medrash. Anyway. Okay, anyway, so I told him that. And he didn't stand up in my presence. In both cases, Rebbe answered him, Omaloi, but Omaloi, Shema Bahen, Yerushalayim Maharav. You know what? Actually, he, Rabbi Chiya, or Bar Kappara, or Rabbi Shmuel, or Rabbi Yossi, might have actually been sitting and thinking about that very thing that you taught him, and therefore he was distracted and didn't realize you were there to stand up for you. So, Taima de Bahen Yerushalayim Maharav, which implies, what did you let me... Wait, two lines. Taima de Bahen Yerushalayim Maharav. So what are you saying? So what is Rebbe saying? If they're sitting and thinking into it and therefore they're distracted, fine, then they have an excuse not to stand up for you. Halam, hachi loy, implying, but if not, they are supposed to stand up for you, even though it was in the bathhouse. So what is the Bryce, the very terrorist koyanim, maybe even part of the part that he taught him, telling us that not? The answer is, loikasha habavati gavoy, habavati baroy. It depends whether you're talking about in the inner chamber or in the outer chamber. Bathhouses in those days used to have three sections. You had an outer section where people would still be dressed. You had a middle section, which was the changing room. Some people would be dressed, some undressed. And then you had the inner room, which was the equivalent of like a mikveh or whatever, where everybody is undressed. If you're in the inner area where everybody's undressed, then there's no obligation to stand up for a talmud chacham. When you're talking in the outer chamber where everybody is dressed, when actually there's other dinim that are done again to that, so the outer chamber is a place you can still wear tefillin, you can still say your tzitzit over there, then that's considered a normal place. You have to stand up for a person. This that we're talking about, they were in the bathhouse, even if it was in the outer chamber. The Gemara doesn't talk about the inner one, by the way, so I think the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say that maybe it depends whether the Rebbe, whether the Talmud Chacham that you're supposed to be standing up for, whether he himself is dressed or not in there. If he's dressed, you're supposed to. If not, then you're not supposed to. Okay, anyway. The Gemara says, in fact, Hachinami Mistabri. Yeah, it must be logical to say that this was in the outer room, like in the foyer, like you're saying. The Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and Bichol Mokam Mutu Lahara. In any place you're allowed to think words of Torah, Chutz Mi Beis HaMelech, Chutz Mi Beis HaKisei, except for a bathhouse and a bathroom. So if there is, so therefore if Rebbe is saying that maybe they were sitting and thinking about what you taught them, and that's why they were distracted and didn't notice you, necessarily that would have to be in the outer room, yeah, where everybody's dressed.
What about people who discuss Hasidus in the inner chamber?
Should they? I mean, I don't know whether it's right to. I mean, you're not even supposed to talk in the Lashon Kodesh in there, you know? Anyway, the Gemara answers. Yeah, the Gemara answers not necessarily. Can you prove from that? Because Duma la Oinse Shiny. Maybe you could argue when it's a matter of an oinus, it's different. Namely, let's say he's thinking into this thing before he even goes into the bathhouse. Afterwards, he still has it very much on his mind. It's still on the tip of his tongue. So therefore, even in the bathhouse, he can't prevent himself from thinking about it. So he can't necessarily prove that these stories actually happen in the outer chamber. It could have even been in the inner chamber, in the actual bathhouse room or whatever. Where everybody's undressed. But he was thinking about it because he was already thinking about it from before. There's a Gemara in Zvachim that goes even further, that Rab mentions over there a din that he learned from Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon in the bathroom, because Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon was on such a level of a Torah Yom Nasei that he was so, his whole Metzius was Torah, that even in the bathroom he couldn't help himself but speak about it. Not so much Mutter, but it was an Oynes Shachmana Patre. So. Could be.
As much as
okay.
That was it. Because the Ragachel, he lost his first wife.
Right.
And unfortunately, later he lost his second wife. So, the first time, managed to hold himself back from wearing it. His checks haven't cleaned.
Okay. Continuing, the Braisa had said, Yocho Yatim Ein of Kamishloiro'ohu. You would think maybe a person is allowed to close his eyes and pretend like he didn't see the Talmud Chacham coming, and therefore the pasuk says "V'yareisa me'alekacha," that anything that only the Eibishter and you know what you're really thinking. It always says "V'yareisa me'alekacha." Much as alter v'rashi, yes, see then. What is the Braita telling us? Does the Torah have to address itself to Rishoyim? Don't do an Aveda because the Eibishter is watching you. Obviously, you have a mitzvah. We can assume that the Torah is telling you that you have to do the mitzvah. Maybe a person might think, let me close my eyes before the time of the chiyuv comes. We're going to say soon, We're going to say in the next couple of lines how far the Talmud Chacham has to be away before you have to stand up. Let's say, for example, we're saying a regular run-of-the-mill Talmud Chacham 4 amos away. So when the guy is 6 amos away, you close your eyes, so that way when he comes to within your 4 amos, you make it like it, but you know the truth, whether it's an attack or
happening. You're pretending that you don't see him.
You're pretending you had a reason to close your eyes and therefore you didn't happen to notice him coming. But really, in your heart, you know that you did it in order to try to get up. Because you didn't want to bother getting up. That way, when the chiyuv comes, when he's within your 4 amos or whatever, where you're supposed to be standing up for him, then you don't see him, then you have to stand up. That's what the pasuk is telling us. You need to stand up, and you need to fear the Eibishter. The Eibishter knows the truth.
You can't pretend.
What is considered standing up for somebody, which also is, which by that you're doing hidur, by that you're showing him honor, because in other words, that you're demonstrating that you stood up dafka for him and not just stand for some other reason. Heveim is a telamis. This is when he's within your 4 amos. This only applies if it's not your primary teacher. Rabbi Muvak, basically, the Gemara describes it in Bava Metzia at the end of Perek Eilu Metzias, that Rabbi Muvak is somebody shalomad roig chachmasei hemenu, somebody who you learn most of what you know in Torah, or at least most of what you learn in Gemara or in advanced Torah study or whatever, from him. That's Rabbi Muvak. So if it's not Rabbi Muvak, if it's like a run of the mill Talmud Chacham or somebody who maybe you learned one thing from or whatever, then yeah, 4 amos. But if it's a Rabbi Muvak, then you have to stand up for him when you see as far as you can see him. As soon as you can see him. There are Mepharshim who say, based on another Gemara, also in Eilu Metzias, that there's a limit to that also. The limit to that is 266 and 2/3 amos, about 400 feet, give or take.
Who sees that far anyway?
Well, maybe when you're 70 years old, you don't. But you know, when you're younger and your vision is still good, then.
So
that's what I'm saying. It's about 400 feet, give or take.
So.
The Gemara mentions it over there in connection with the. No, your average Crown Heights long block is about 700 feet.
An avenue block
is like 250 feet. So you're talking more than 1.5 of those.
It's more than 250.
Okay. Anyway. And the Gemara gives an example. Abaya miki havas chotile lechamra deudna de Rabbi Yosef. When Abaya would see the ear of the donkey of Rabbi Yosef approaching, to offi that it was coming, havakoyim, then he would stand up already then, because he knows that Rabbi Yosef is close by. Okay. Another example. Abaya have a rochiv chamra. One time, Abaya himself was riding on a donkey. Because maski agudad in the house sagi, he was walking. He was riding along the banks of the Sagi River. Yosef and Mesharshia were abonim beidach kisa, but Mesharshia and the other chachamim were sitting on the other side. The light chachamim would come in, they didn't stand up for him. Amar lahu, he said to them, "Lav Rav Muvak ana, aren't I your Rav Muvak? Shouldn't you be standing up for me?" Amar lahu, they said, "Lav adaitin, we didn't notice. We didn't realize that we didn't pay attention that you were there." Again, like before. They may have been partaked in their learning or whatever and didn't realize it. Then the Brai said, continue, Rav Shimon Alaza Omer Minayim L'Zokin Shalei Yatriach. How do we know that the Zokin himself should not be Matriach people to stand up for him? Talmud Lomer Zokin V'Yoreisa. The Pasuk therefore puts the word Zokin next to the word V'Yoreisa to say you, the Zokin yourself, have to fear the Eibishter and not be Matriach on people.
And why is he making comments that says so he's going to be standing up on me?
If he's passing by, they have a responsibility to, but he shouldn't have to pass by in order to him. Naktinan, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, the Imakif Chaye, that if he does take the long way around, not to have to pass him. Besides, there's a difference between the Tzibur.
You record this?
Yeah, I do.
Can you get copies?
Yeah, I put it on the internet. I'll tell you later the site.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Okay, well, that's... Anyway. Naktinan, the imakif chaye, that if a person does go the long way around, chaye, he'll live long as a reward from the Eibishter for not being matriach tzibur. And the Gemara tells, for example, Abaye makif, Reb Zera makif. Abaye used to go the long way around, and so did Reb Zera.
To not
daft to pass by the tzibur. Again, by the way, we mentioned what the Shach said yesterday, that he says it's daft when they're sitting on the floor because of the hassle for them to get up. Machenkin, if they're sitting on chairs, it's not a big deal. Ravina have a Yosef Kamed Rav Yirmi Megifti. It once happened, Ravina was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Yirmi Megifti. Cholafahu Gavra Kameh, a certain person passed by in front of them. V'loim Michti Reisha, and he didn't have his head covered. again, the different possibilities we talked about the other day, does it mean he was completely bareheaded, or does it mean he was only wearing a yarmulke but not a hat? Anyway, Omar, Ravina says, Kama chosif ha-gavra, what a chutzpanyak this is, that he's passing by in front of some nechachamim without showing derech eretz. But actually, but without getting too far off topic, there's a medrash, actually, that tells about how Rabbi Akiva and a couple of the other chachamim one time was sitting, and a boy passes by also with his head uncovered. One of them says he must be a mamzer, another one says he must be a ben anidya, and Rabbi Akiva says he must be both. And they started inquiring into it, and it turned out that indeed he was both. So somebody was such a chutzpanyak. Yeah. In this case, not, but anyway. On the lay, so in this case, Ravina was Malamed Schus on the guy.
Isn't that
referring
to, I say...
Maybe not, I don't know. Could be. Any time you have a story in the Gemara involving Rabbi Akiva, and any time you have a story involving Mamzerim, people think that it's about Eishayish. Could be not, I don't know.
Rabbi Akiva was much later.
Right, okay. Anyway, so in this case, Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Gitzi was Malamed Schus on him. Maybe he is from Mos Machasya, the name of the city. The Gitzi bar Rabbanan, they're very familiar with the Rabbanan over there. There are Rabbanim all over the place over there. So therefore, like they this guy feels himself like a shtickle Talmud Chacham also, and he doesn't feel the need to act so respectfully in front of him. Familiarity breeds contempt, as they say in English. Then the Braise said, continued, Isi ben Yehuda, they say, but talking about Philip called Seva Mashma, that when it says you stand up for a person with white hair, means any kind of Seva, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, ki Isi ben Yehuda. Yeah, that's the halacha. And the Gemara gives examples. Rabbi Yochanan have a koi mikame savi darmoi. Rabbi Yochanan used to stand up in the presence of goyish elderly people, even goyim, in other words, halacha, kind of a kind of Jews. Omar, because he said, look at how many life experiences have passed over them. Rashi says, Mikrois, Vitzores, all kinds of things have happened to them, all kinds of Tzores. They've seen lots of Nisim, they've seen how the Eidosha runs the world, but that alone, they deserve respect. Also, Rabbeinu Yohanan adds another detail, also the fact that they lived through all these things means the Eidosha has a reason he wants them in the world, therefore you've got to show them respect. Yeah. Taneapat Odu Alayu Dahani passed over these people. Rava Nekam Lakoi, Rava, when he would meet elderly Amaratim or Goyim or whatever it is, Nekam Lakoi, he wouldn't stand up for them, but he would show them some kind of respect. Abaya Yohiv Yodulasavi, Abaya would stick out his hands to help them, to help them walk or to lean on him or whatever. Rava. What?
Not
Shalom Aleichem. Rashi says, "Call Kamasha over him Esla Vinish Anin Allah." That they when they pass by, they'd be able to lean on him. They'd stick out his hand for that. Rava Meshadish Shluchay. Rava would send a messenger to. We're talking about elderly people, not Talmud Chacham.
Yeah, elderly people.
Yeah. Rava wouldn't do it himself, but he would send a shliach to put out his hand for them. Rav Nachman Meshadar Gavzoi, and Rav Nachman would also send his servants. Rashi says specifically Rav Nachman was, besides being an important Talmud Chacham, he was also important in politically. He was the son-in-law of the Reish Gavusa. So therefore, he always had attendants around, because he served as the head of the Beis Din. Sometimes somebody doesn't want to listen to the Beis Din, you need to send bailiffs to give him pet or whatever. So these are the people Rav Nachman always had around. So therefore, when old people would pass by, he would send these people to help them, to support them and help them walk. He not to be mezalzel in his Torah. And why did he do that? Omar, he loved Torah, because after all, the Torah is important. I have to respect it. If not for the Torah, come a Nachman Ba'aba, Ikeb Ashuka. Look how many Nachman Ba'abas there would be out in the streets, just simple people. So the fact that a Talmud Chacham has to be careful about his cousin. Rashi gives a different explanation, which Rashi says he doesn't like, which is it was the other way around. That when it says Abaya gave his hand to these people, it means Fakeh. He would lean on them. And Rava would send out his servants to have this shluchim, and Rav Nachman would send out his bailiffs or whatever, that they should come and honor him. And Rashi says that the lashon doesn't fit. Yohiv Yada always means that you send somebody, that Yohiv Yada means you give your hand to support the other person, not the other way around. However, the Shiltis does learn basically like this explanation, not exactly, but rather the Shiltis learn, and the Shiltis is from one of the early Goyim, it has important validity to it. He explains that what it was is that Abaya and Rav, that each in their own way, Abaya and Rava and Rav Nachman want to help the people do the mitzvah of standing up for the Menachamim. That he would stick out his hand and help them up so that they could stand up in honor of him. Similarly, Rava would send his servants to do the same thing, or Nachman would send his bailiffs to do the same thing. So not in order, because they themselves might have a hard time getting up for him. So like this.
He's walking by them, or they're walking by him?
The Pashas, he's walking by them. I don't know. Okay. Amrav,
they're walking by him. They're standing anyway.
Yeah, so then Pashas, we're talking about he's walking by them. Okay. Amrav, Ivu, Amrav, Yan. In Tamar Chacham, Rashoi, Laman, Rav, Rabbi, Elashachas, Ba'avis. Tamar Chacham is only allowed to stand up for his Rebbe once in the morning and once in the evening. Kedeshalo, Yekvoid, and Merubim, Kvoid, Shemaim, in order that the covet of your Rebbe shouldn't be greater than the covet of the Eivishte. Well, so what do we mean with Kvod Shemayim? So Rashi says that you only receive the Eivishter's presence, the Pashtus, by davening twice. I mean, you daven three times a day, but one of them is Kvod Shemayim, is Rishus. So there's other Mephoshim we say it's talking about Kriyashma we only say twice a day. Anyway, Tosa says, what about on the cases we had before when Rava and Abaya were makbid on the Chachamim, we didn't stand up for them, maybe it stood up for them, a couple of others. So Tosa gives the answer that this din that we're talking about, that I'm not right, similar, this din is talking about Talmidim who live in the yeshiva, who live by their Rebbe's house. So they're constantly there. So therefore, it's better to let them only stand up for him twice a day. Talmidim who are not there, yes, they need to stand up as many times a day as necessary, because if not, somebody else is going to think that, what are you doing, not standing up for him?
Bruno, they didn't stand up.
Okay, so that's what we're saying over here, that they only need to twice a day.
For who? For this one? Huh?
I mean, again, there's also a bit of discussion.
This is the type of guy who would have been angry if they would have stood up.
Okay. I mean, there's also more discussion about over this, over the, whether this is only Rabbi, whether this is also true of Rabbi Mubarak or maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay. No, the Gemara says I have a contradiction. The Braisa said before, Rav Shimon Allah Zalim Menayim Zokin Shalay Yatriyah. How do we know that the Zokin himself should not be Matriyah the Tzibur? Tamadlan is Zokin the Eraser. The Yamat Shachas Ba'avis Bilvad. Now, if you're going to say that, they're anyway only allowed to stand up for him twice a day. Amayla Nitra. Why shouldn't it be Matriyah then? Chiyuvahu. Shouldn't they at least have the Chiyuv to do it twice a day? Elam Lab Kuliyam. L'chura means that any time during the day he passes by, they're expected to stand up. The answer is no. No, we couldn't even be talking about Shachas V'Avis. Even so, still, as much as possible, let him not be Matriach then. The maximum, again, if they're Reveis HaRav, as the Tosfos and the Rambam say, is twice a day. But even that twice a day, you don't have to be Matriach then, too, if you can avoid it.
The Rebbe
had to come in the shul to daven, and the Rebbe had to come in for Brengen. So what's supposed to, you know? Okay, if he has to pass by, he has no choice.
Well,
he has to go into
the high. It's a south part.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They don't even like that, by the way.
Okay. Next. I'm going to have a Kol Tamar Chacham She'en Oymi Mepe Rabbi, a Tamar Chacham who does not stand up for his Rebbe, Nikra Rosha, he's called a Rosha, Ve'en Marich Yomim, he will not live long, V'tamudim Eshtakeach, and he will end up forgetting his learning. Shenema, as the Pasuk says in Kehelet, the Toiv lo yir la Rosha, there will not be good for the Rosha, good ain Toiv la Torah, so that teaches us that he'll forget his learning. V'lo yarech yomim, and he will not live long, so there's the lack of arechos yomim. Tassel, he'll be like a shadow. Why? Asher enenu yore min lifnei ha'alekim, because he doesn't have fear in the presence of the Eivishter. Now, murder do any day. Now, what does it mean he doesn't have fear of the Eivishter? And now, Rashi says, can't it mean regular Yiras Shemayim? Because the expression on that of the Pasuk is Es Hashem Elekecha Tira. Here it's just Milfneho Elekim, only the Shem Elekim. So therefore, it can't mean regular murder of the Eivishter. It has to mean something else. Shu Oimu V'Yareisim Elekecha, but when you have the Pasuk says, over here, what they were talking about, and it says, V'Yareisim Elekecha, you fear the Eivishter. Then we know that Moira means standing up for a Talmud Chacham, standing up for your Rebbe, and therefore we're saying a person who does not have Asher Inenu Yorei Mifnei HaElokim, he did Milifnei HaElokim, did not fear, he did not show this Yira of standing up before the Eivishter, then he's not going to have the Toiv, and he's not going to have the Arichas Yomim. And he told the Rasha. And they were, why? The Gemara says, there's also mitzvahs where it also uses the expression V'yareisim alakecha. V'eim emaras ribis emaras mishkalos. Maybe say that it's talking about a person who doesn't fear the Eivishter and takes ribis. There also it says V'yareisim alakecha. Mishkalos, the din that you have to have fair fair weights and measures, Evan Schleimer Tzedek Yiloch. Tosfos, by the way, argues with that. Tosfos says that it says that you have to have Evan Schleimer Tzedek, etc. Doesn't say anything about Yiras Shemayim over there. So Tosfos gives two possibilities. Number one is maybe the Girsa, instead of Mishkolos, maybe it should be Michsholos, as in with Ne'ivolos is in Michshol. And that it does say the Yiras Malatecha. Or Tosfos says that actually it could be talking about Mishkolos. Why? Because what happened right after in Parashat Kisei, right after it talks about Mishkolos, right after that is Zohar Es HaShar HaSamach HaMolek. What's the connection? The Medrash says, you actually bring it on the Pasuk, but a person who doesn't have fair weights and measures, then they end up being attacked by the Amoleks of the world. And Amolek, it says, V'lo Yorei Elikim. So therefore, you get attacked by the V'lo Yorei Elikim for a lack of care with Midas and Mishkolos. So therefore, we see there is a connection between Midas and Mishkolos and then the fear of Eivishte. Anyway. So maybe it means those. Maybe Shlomo HaMelech is saying that a person who doesn't have honest weights and measures is called a Rosha and V'layarif Yom, etc., or somebody who takes the ribbons. Who says it's talking about not standing up for a Talmud Chacham? The answer is Rabbi Elazar Pnei Gomer. Yes, but Rabbi Elazar is focusing on, it says, Milifnei Ha'alikim. He's using the Gzeira Shava of the fact, Mipnei Sever Tachum. There would have to be a mitzvah that's associated. No, but it's still the same Lashon, though. That's still the same Shurdish. Therefore, it has to be a mitzvah that is associated with the word pnei, and that is standing up. Now they had a question. Rabbi, what if a person has, his son is his Rebbe? Ma'olam and pnei aviv. Should he stand up for his father? Toshma, the Omel is Shmuel of Rabbi Yehuda, we can prove, or we find that Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, kum mitamei avuch, stand up for your father. Now, his father was Rabbi Chezkel. We learned yesterday the story when Rabbi Yehuda's father was Rabbi Chezkel. We learned yesterday the story that Rabbi Chezkel was teaching his other son Rami a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, and then Rabbi Yehuda corrected him on the Lashon of it. So Rabbi Yehuda is his father's Rebbe, and Shmuel is telling him and Shmuel is telling Rabbi Yehuda that he should stand up for his father. So we see that if your son is your Rebbe, the son has to stand up for the father, not the other way around. Which is why. Not necessarily because Shiny Rabbi Chezkel the Baal Meisen Haver. You could say it's different the case of Rabbi Chezkel because he was a Baal Meisen. He was known for his tzedakah, for his midas, whatever. So that's different. In fact, even Shmuel himself would stand up in honor of Rabbi Chezkel because of his Meisen Tzedakah. So therefore, you can't prove. So you can't prove. Maybe Shmuel is telling him, stand up for him. As far as Torah, it's true, you're greater than him. You're his Rebbe. Right. But as far as that, he's a Baal Meis and Tovim, he exceeds, he deserves respect for that, and therefore you should be standing up for him. Then the Gemara says back, well, in that case, Elamai Kamalai. Well, in that case, then what would he be telling him? If he's just telling him stand up for him because of Baal Meisim, then what's the chiddush in it? Of course, you have to stand up for a Baal Meisim. If Shmuel himself is standing up for him, of course, Rabbi Yehuda needs to. Shouldn't we be able to prove from this, going back to what we said,
if he was not a Baal Meisim, he wouldn't.
That's the point. Right. The answer is no. Hochikamaleh. Shmuel could be telling Rabbi Yehuda like this. Zimnin de Osi Me'achorai. It can happen that Rabbi Chezkel walks into this medrash from behind me. Now, if he's behind me, I don't see him to stand up for him. Nevertheless, kum at mi kamei. Nevertheless, you should stand up and cover for him. Don't be concerned about my cover that you're standing up when I'm sitting and you're standing up and you're showing cover to somebody else in my presence. Where usually there's a taka rule. Ein chok and cover the Talmud. Usually there's a rule. You don't honor a Talmud in the presence of his Rebbe. Nevertheless, Shmuel was saying, basically, because it's Rabbi Chezkel and he's a Baal Meisim, I would stand up for him myself. If I don't stand up for him, it's only because I don't see him because he came from behind me. You should still be standing up for him.
When you see him.
But you can't prove one way or the other from that about whether he's standing up for him even though he's his Rebbe, and just because he's a father and he's a son, or is it because he's a Baal Meisim and therefore if he wasn't a Baal Meisim, maybe he wouldn't have to. So now he bari lahu. Now they have a question. The other way around, b'noi b'hu rabbi. What before we were talking about? Does the son have to stand up for his father when the son is the Rebbe and the father is the Talmud? Now what about the other way around? B'noi b'hu rabbi. Ma'ar shi'yamid avim yipanav. What about in such a case? Should the father be standing up for the son? Tashma, come, was improved from a case, Domer of Shurban Levi, Ani Eni Kedai Laman of Nebani, really I should not have to stand up for my son, which Rashi says the Hava Amina at this point is that we mean I, Rabbi Shurban Levi, and my son's Rebbe, so really I should not have to stand up for him. Elam Ashum Kvoid Beis Nasi, the only reason I stand up for him is because of the cupboard of the Nasi's house, because Rabbi Shurban Levi and the Nasi were Mechotanim. Rabbi Shurban Levi's son married the Nasi's daughter. So Taimadan no Rabbi, which implies, what is Rabbi Shurban Levi saying? You know why I shouldn't have to stand up for him is because I'm his Rebbe. That seems to imply that he would be saying, if he was my Rebbe, then even though he's my son, I would have to stand up for him.
Isn't that a sign of disrespect to that a father should stand up for his son?
Because
that's
actually, yeah.
The father,
that's actually, yeah. That's true, actually. The same thing as Maharam Rukhenberg never saw his father again. Exactly, it's true.
He couldn't stand the fact that the Alphabet is standing up for him.
It's true, yeah.
I'm asking from an Aristotle's point of view, but we said that so the son has to respect the father.
Yes, but on the other hand, a person, a Talmud, has to respect his Rebbe. You could argue. That's what we're trying to figure out. The answer is no, not necessarily, because maybe what Rabbi Shurban Levi means is Hochkama, Ani Eni Kedayim Laman Mekneb Neva Afilahu Rabboi. I should not have to stand up for my son, even if he were my Rebbe, Dehan Navua, because after all, I am his father. Elam Shum Kvoy Beis Nasi, however, there is the covet of the Nasi's house involved, and therefore that overrides everything else. So again, you can't really prove one way or the other from this statement whether he should or not. The son wasn't the Nasi, the son was the son-in-law of the Nasi. The son-in-law of the Nasi.
But by default, if he wasn't part of the Beis Nasi,
but that's what we're arguing. You could understand Rabbi Shurban Levi's statement either way. You could say, because I'm his Rebbe, as well as the fact that that he's my son, therefore there's no reason I should have to stand up for him if it weren't for the Nazis covered, which we'll set that aside. Or he could mean, because he's my son, and I'm his Rebbe, I don't have to stand up for him. But if he was my Rebbe, then maybe I would have to stand up for him. You can't prove. You could argue it either way. Again, what the halacha is like in both of these cases, there is machlokas rishonim, who the halacha is asking like. Should the father stand up for his son? Should the son stand up for his father? Again, this is why with Maharam Rutenberg, he never saw his father again in order to avoid that whole issue. This is you're saying with the Alter Rebbe and Reb Baruch, same thing. Reb Baruch himself left town and left the country altogether because he couldn't tolerate that the Alter Rebbe is standing up for him.
Can you derive, by the way, this is an important question here, as you're giving a story, can you derive the halacha from a stunt story rather than a story from the Gemara?
Maybe not. I mean, we're not saying you can derive a halacha from what Reb Baruch did. We're saying Reb Baruch himself couldn't stand the idea that it's a Maisa Shaya, that he couldn't stand that his father, his son should stand up for him. Fine. Does that prove that an ordinary father does have to? Maybe not. Not a lot of Ibolo. Now they had another question. Rochuv k'mahalach domi oloi. What about if a person is riding? So Rashi, because we're talking about that the Rebbe is riding. The Baal HaFlo says it may mean the other way around. What if the Talmud is riding? Anyway, is that the equivalent of walking, and then you'd have to stand up for him, or maybe
riding
not?
On an animal.
Riding on an animal, yeah. I'm going to buy a toshma. Come, we can prove it from a case involving the halachas of Tzaraas. Last week and this week's parasha, very negeh. The din is that a person who has tzaraas is metame other people ba'oil, somewhat similarly to the way a mess is metame ba'oil, with the difference that with a mitzvah it has to be only in a place where he's settled, either standing. Here we're going to talk about standing. The Mishnah in the Goyim actually says a little differently in terms of sitting, but whatever. If he's in one place for a certain amount of time, not just if he's walking by.
Doesn't have to touch him.
No. So. Tomei Yoshev Tachaseilon, if you have the Tomei, the Mitzvah is sitting under a tree, the Tahar Oymed, and a Tahar person is standing there, Tomei, then he becomes Tomei because the Mitzvah is sitting there under the tree. He's settled there. Tomei Oymed Tachaseilon, if it's the other way around, the Tomei is standing under the tree, the Tahar Yoshev, and the Tahar person is sitting, Tahar. Then the person who is Tahar remains Tahar because the fact that he's standing, the fact that the Mitzvah is standing over there, he's not Mitame, the person, yet, because he hasn't stayed there. Vim Yoshev HaTomei, but if he sits down there, HaTahar Tomei, then the Tahar will become Tomei. The expression in the Pasuk is that the Mechut, Bodav Yeshev Mechut Lamachna Moshavai, That the Masoda's dwelling place has to be outside the Machne. So from that we learn, only in a place where he sits or dwells for some amount of time, so Yashav literally means to sit, then he's in Tame people around him. But if he's just standing over there or walking by, that's not Matame the Tahor who's under the same tree.
Can you say the tree is an Ohel?
That's what the tree is in it. That's why if he sits down, that's why if he's sitting under the tree, the Tahor person will become Tame. But if he's walking by or standing over there, then he's not.
Even though it's an Ohel.
Yeah. So if Yashava Tame Atahor Tame, if the Tame person sits down, the Tahor person becomes Tame. And here's the key part, the Chain Be'evan Hamanugas. The same dinim applies to a stone from a house that had Saras, this week's parasha, where the stones had to be taken out, or the house as a whole had to be torn down, or whatever. The stones are Matame, that's why the Pasuk says have to be taken, El Mechutz Le'il Makom Tame. The stones have the same din, they're also Matame Ba'oil, same idea. If one person is walking by under a tree, carrying a stone, then the other person, the Tahor, who's sitting under that tree, will be Tahor, unless the person with the stone sits down over there. You know what? You can prove from that somebody who's riding is the equivalent of walking, because the stone itself is not walking. The stone itself can't walk. What we do is we go according to the person who's carrying the stone. We're saying if the person who carries the stone sits down, then he'll be metame anybody under the tree. But if he stays standing, then he won't. Therefore, we see Rachel Kamalach Dami, the stone itself, which is not moving, the stone is being carried around. You don't go according to the stone, you go according to the person who's carrying it. Same logic then, when a Rebbe is passing by on a donkey, for example, then he himself is not moving, it's the animal that's moving, but it's still the same thing. The animal moving is the equivalent of him moving, him walking, and therefore we have to stand up for him. And I asked the question, why didn't we prove it from the case we had on Amud Aleph, that Abaya would stand up when he saw the ears of Rabbi Yosef's donkey? One answer is, after the Gemara answered the question, that's when Abaya started doing that.